survives in the cultural memory. It's as Dr. Sex. If we could stop calling him that, we might begin to know him as he truly was.
Stop Calling Me Dr. Sex was presented by Matthew Sweet, with readings by Adam Negatis and Nicholas Murchie. The programme was produced by Phil Tinline and first broadcast here on BBC Radio 3 last December.
On Friday night, one of the world's great orchestras, the Vienna Philharmonic, comes to the Proms. Lorin Maazel directs them in Anton Bruckner's towering Symphony No. 8, composed as a conscious tribute to three great Austro-German masters. Before that, we'll hear music by J.S. Bach, played on Bruckner's own organ, which still towers over every prom in the Royal Albert Hall. Join me, Donald MacLeod, for The Proms, live from the Royal Albert Hall, Friday night at 7:30, here on BBC Radio 3, home of the BBC Proms.
Here on BBC Radio 3, it's now 10 o'clock. At 11:45 tonight, Nick Luscombe will be introducing this evening's Late Junction. But now, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, Christopher Cook presents the second of this evening's Proms.
We've last things for a late night in the second of this evening's BBC Proms here at the Royal Albert Hall. Choral music to carry us into the afterlife. David Hill conducts the BBC singers in the first London performance of George Lloyd's Requiem with Estyn Davies, the countertenor soloist. But first a beginning in a work by a remarkably precocious 19-year-old whose 100th birthday we're celebrating this year. Benjamin Britten's A Boy Was Born was written in 1932 and 1933, while the budding composer was in his final year at the Royal College of Music, just a stone's throw from the Albert Hall here. The first performance was a broadcast by the Wireless Singers, who in time became the BBC Singers, one of the two choirs who sing A Boy Was Born this evening. And who was one of the tenors in the Wireless Singers in 1934? Peter Pearce, who would become Britten's lifelong partner. Two circles neatly squared. A Boy Was Born sets nine English Christmas carols for a mixed adult choir and a choir of trebles. This evening they are the choristers of the Temple Church. The texts are mostly 15th century, and since Britten's score preserves the spellings of that period, tonight's performance uses late medieval pronunciations of the words too. They tell the story of the first Christmas, beginning with the Nativity, including Herod's murder of the innocents and the visit of the wise men, before ending with Francis Quarles' poem, A Christmas Carol. Each of the five movements is a musical variation on the simple four-note theme sung to the score's opening words, A Boy Is Born. Then comes the six variations, Lule, Jesu, Herod, Jesu Thou Art My Saviour, The Three Kings, In the Bleak Midwinter, not of course a medieval text, but Christina Rossetti's much-loved words, and finally a rousing shout of welcome to Christmas is itself, Noel. So, to conduct the BBC singers and the choristers of the Temple Church in a performance of Benjamin Britten's A Boy Was Born, please welcome David Hill. The BBC singers and the choruses of the Temple Church sang Benjamin Britten's A Boy Was Born. It was conducted by David Hill, and the solo treble was Luke McWatters. I must say, for all its inventive originality... Yes, thank you. For all its inventive originality, A Boy Was Born seems now perhaps to belong to the beating heart of the English choral tradition. How appropriate, then, that the very first performance in February 1934 took place on the day that Edward Elgar died. Well, with me now is the BBC Singers chief conductor, David Hill. David, it's an extraordinary piece of music to have been written by a 19-year-old. Now, of course, a classic of the choral repertoire. But is it unique, or do you see it as belonging to perhaps the mid-20th century tradition that would include Vaughan Williams and perhaps also William Walton?
It certainly comes from a person who is obviously just embarking on a major career, we all know. And, of course, this is not Opus 3, really, because he's written lots and lots. But he had learned hugely from Vaughan Williams, of course, and he'd recently heard Belshazzar's Feast before composing A Boy Was Born, and he was slightly sniffy about Belshazzar's Feast, actually. He thought it was only reasonably good, but I think it must have been quite an ear-opening to him to have heard that, and heard the choral textures that actually Walton uses, and that are not dissimilar from what he uses. But I think the most important factor for me is that he uses the choir a bit like an orchestra, really. It's a sort of a textural thing, you know? He uses... The voices in a very instrumental way. It is an incredibly wonderful piece. It's seminal work, I think, of its time. And the reason we don't know more about it is it doesn't get very often performed for pretty obvious reasons. It's incredibly difficult, and you have to have a very good boys' choir. And we were very lucky tonight to have the Temple Boys with us to sing it. So, you know, it is a fantastic piece.
It's written in 8 parts, and 9 if we include the boy trebles, and yet the texture of the piece has the kind of crispness about it, a kind of lightness that very much suggests maybe the notion of a medieval winter, the kind of, there's a wintry air blowing through it.
Absolutely, and particularly when he reduces the forces into the quieter numbers, and then you've got that absolutely magical moment when the boy treble is singing and is sweeping above the rest of the choir. And he goes into very simple 4-part textures to create what is a really magical experience. And I think that he must have seen, you know, the sort of arrangements that Vaughan Williams and others, and Warlock even, had been doing to have also been influenced by them.
The second piece we're going to hear in this late night prom is George Lloyd's Requiem. Now, Lloyd was born exactly the same year, 1913, as Benjamin Britten, but he's a very different kind of composer, and this is very different music, isn't it?
Oh, yes, this is, I mean, totally different in that he's this particular piece was written not long before he died. And he's writing, I think, music that is very personal to him. This is obviously, this Requiem is written in memory of Princess Diana. But there is a very personal statement about it. And I just feel that every so often you hear him crying out through this music. So we will do what we can.
David Hill, thank you very much indeed. George Lloyd composed his Requiem in 1998. It was indeed the last piece he wrote. Having all but disappeared from concert halls and the airwaves, his music was by then being played again, and he'd found keen champions of his particular late romantic style with conductors like Edward Downes. Indeed, it was Downes who was responsible for the composer's only other appearance at the BBC Proms so far in 1981, when he conducted the BBC Philharmonic in the first performance of Lloyd's Sixth Symphony. George Lloyd was perhaps born too late for the music that he really wanted to write. His hero was Puccini, and he had little time for the music that was being written by many of his contemporaries, complaining, for example, that serialism was a cockeyed idea that produced horrible sounds. So, as you might expect, his Requiem is nothing if not tuneful. The Latin text is divided into 16 sections, beginning with the Requiem and the Kyrie, and ending with Lux Aeterna. But the Liberame, the impassioned pleading prayer for deliverance from the pains of hell, is absent here. And Medea's Ira is less a cataclysm than an almost playful summer storm with a rollicking introduction on the organ. This is music to console us, not to terrify us into eternity. The work is scored for chorus, organ, and solo counter tenor. Tonight's organist, Greg Morris, is safely installed in his organ loft, and the BBC singers are back on the platform. So, for the first performance of George Lloyd's Requiem, will you please welcome conductor David Hill and tonight's soloist, Yestyn Davies. Lux Aeterna, grant eternal light to shine on them, O Lord. The closing movement of George Lloyd's Requiem, given its London premiere here at the BBC Proms. This was Lloyd's final work and written for Princess Diana, who died 16 years ago last weekend on August 31st, 1997. The countertenor soloist was Yestin Davis, and Greg Morris, making his Proms debut, played the organ. David Hill conducted the BBC singers. Greg Morris had an extremely busy week. Not only was he the chorus master for the Temple Kirch Boys for their appearance in Britain's A Boy Was Born, but he also spent enormous amounts of time preparing this huge, mighty organ here at the Royal Albert Hall for that immensely complicated part for the organ. David Hill back on the platform with tonight's soloist, Yestin Davis, standing in front of the BBC singers, acknowledging the applause of the Albert Hall here. George Lloyd makes one other Proms appearance. He's here, so to speak, in the last night of the Proms this Saturday with his March HMS Trinidad, with him during the Second World War for a brand new Navy ship in which Lloyd was serving. And in a competition judged by the officers and crew of the ship, Lloyd's march beat its only rival, and that rival was Ralph Vaughan Williams, who composed another march for the ship. Yestin Davis running back on to the platform, followed by David Hill, chief conductor of the BBC singers. All warmly applauded by the audience here. Tomorrow night's Prom here at the Royal Albert Hall. Osmo Vanska and the BBC Symphony Orchestra with Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony, The Pathetique, Goretzky's Symphony of Sorrowful Songs, and orchestrated Vaughan Williams' Four Last Songs with Anthony Payne. But for now, it's good night from the Royal Albert Hall. And back to my colleague, John Shea.
Thank you very much to Christopher Cook presenting tonight's Late Prom, which, like all of the others, you can listen to again for the next 7 days via the Radio 3 website. Well, Christopher's just told us what's on at the Proms tomorrow night. Penny Gore now looks ahead to Thursday evening.
At the BBC Proms, the Orchestra Sinfonica di Milano Giuseppe Verdi, under conductor Xian Zheng, completes the season's Tchaikovsky Symphony series with his Byronic Manfred Symphony. And Maltese tenor Joseph Calea joins the orchestra for arias by Verdi. Join me, Penny Gore, live at the Proms, Thursday evening at 7 on BBC Radio 3.
And as Penny mentioned, Thursday evening's concert completes our Tchaikovsky Symphony cycle in this year's Proms. And after that, you'll be able to find them all in one place, that's the BBC Proms website, with up to 30 days to listen when and wherever you want to on your computer, mobile or tablet. Go to bbc.co.uk/proms to find out how to listen to all the Tchaikovsky symphonies online. Well, back to this evening, and our next programme tonight is Late Junction. Nick Luscombe will be here with that in just over a quarter of an hour at a quarter to midnight. So before that, let's hear more of the sound of the Royal Albert Hall organ. One of the first recordings made on it after its restoration was a 2006 disc by Simon Preston, and from it comes this work by the Belgian Joseph Jongen, who, in his own words, had the most resounding successes of his career in England, giving many organ recitals and conducting at the Proms, I'm happy to say. Well, this piece was commissioned by Belgian Radio for the inauguration of the new organ in the concert hall of the Palais des Beaux-Arts in Brussels in 1930. It's actually a set of variations, but perhaps bearing in mind the ceremonial occasion for which Jongen wrote it, he called it Sonata Eroica.
Thank you.
sound of the Royal Albert Hall organ as it was newly restored in 2006. That's when that disc was made by Simon Preston, and there he was playing the Sonata Eroica, Opus 94, by the Belgian composer Joseph Jongen. Now, Donald MacLeod looks ahead to next week and life after the proms.
It takes a lot to get the Usher Hall audience on its feet, but the Chamber Orchestra of Europe raised the roof with their adrenaline-fueled performance of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. You can hear that, the second of a pair of concerts they gave at this year's Edinburgh International Festival. On Monday, the Orchestra of Virtuosi in Beethoven's Eroica Symphony, Strauss's Metamorphosen, and Haydn's Joyful Sinfonia Concertante. And on Tuesday, the orchestra delves further into the richly contrasting worlds of Strauss and Beethoven with that Seventh Symphony that got them a standing ovation. The Chamber Orchestra of Europe from Edinburgh on Monday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, next tonight, Nick Luscombe will be here with Late Junction. That's in just a minute or so after this short piano piece by Mussorgsky. Surprise. Sudden ending to that piece by Mussorgsky, A Souvenir d'Enfance, and that piece was called Nanny and I. Margaret Fingerhut was the pianist. That's brought the time on BBC Radio 3 to 12:45. A little later than usual, but welcome nonetheless. Here's Nick Luscombe with Late Junction, and Nick, more organ music tonight, I think.
Yeah, that's right, John. It's great that you played that organ music piece earlier, and here's more.
Ray Charles with Free This Day.
Well, he played keyboards for Mahalia Jackson aged just 10 and became known as the fifth Beatle for a while with his work on tracks like Get Back. Always known, though, and remembered as one of the all-time great organ players and true performer. Billy Preston with a truly electric live performance of Summertime featuring a supercharged Hammond B3 performance taken from the 1967 album Club Meeting. And yeah, thanks for your organ music requests. We're going to be delving into those a little bit more this week and then in future shows for sure. Another Late Junction underway, a little bit shorter than usual, so I'll be keeping the music moving along with this next track from Dean Blunt, but sampling Pink Floyd. I think the original track was called Echoes. Dean Blunt from the UK production team Hype Williams. This is Pappy.
Bring out the best in me. Said you bring out the best in me. I can never be down. So bring out the best in me. It's not about the things I did to you. Bring out the best in me. It's not about the possibility for me. Bring out the best in me. Said you bring out the best in me.
Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
Chopper, stop the copies from hopping up, dropping a copy, sloppy up, simple bone, get blown out of your skeletal, pitiful, put a pose of the sword, metal welding and genetic code, spit from at a long range of the game, my aim is to remain strange, numb veins, unchanged, but very broad range for writers to claim, my brain pain made my thoughts form helixes, intensity eclipses misfits with elliptic forms, and it's been said, every time I rhyme is cold red, on a moped with a coke head, in a broken shortwave radio, through the dark blue metro, roll so unpaired, HP so free from the get-go, stop at a Texaco, crack holes with calicos, trying to go south and southwest on 95. Paralyzed, my rhymes go off in tangent. Hand spins in windmills ill still. The chill of death made me feel cold. Gotta roll the windows down and let the sound leak out. Freak out, I often seek out sounds the speakers bounce.